want to welcome everybody to the Master's class here at Summit Church, and we are in the book of Revelation, and we are in chapter 20, verses 13 through 15, and I have come to a decision about what we're going to cover next, and it will be the Gospel of John. The Lord has had that on my heart for weeks now, and I think that's exactly where we need to go with that. And it'll be a great study. On the one hand, we've been talking about Jesus as the lion here in the book of Revelation, and in the book of John, we're going to be talking about Jesus as the lamb. And I think that's a good segue from one to the other, and so forth. So I'm looking forward to that study. I hope you guys are as well. And there is quite a bit of prophecy in the book of John as well. And we've been referencing some of that as we've gone through our study here. As we think about this final judgment of the unsaved dead, you know, I post out on Facebook, and I've got a lot of friends, and I've got a lot of people who don't come to my class. And I posted on both my personal page, which has a bunch of just personal friends, and they all know I teach the Bible, and I'm a preacher and teacher and so forth. And then I posted out on a page, which goes out all over the world. And I have to admit, sometimes, especially when we get into books like Revelation, and we are talking about such things as the Judgment Day, and do they ask themselves, is this stuff real that Keith is writing about and that he's teaching about? Is a judgment day when I'm going to stand before God real? Or is it just something religious nuts talk about to scare everybody to get them into church and so forth? And I've certainly been called a religious nut before, so you know that would not be the first thing that would surprise me. But do they say, you know, it just seems so theatrical, you know, like the stuff of fairy tales or an Edgar Allan Poe story, to talk about heaven and hell and fire and brimstone and eternity and so forth. You know, life is just really simple, isn't it? You live, you die, and you are buried, and that's it. So party while you can, because life is short. Isn't that the way most people think? Yeah, absolutely, right? Now, I want you to listen to me. And I want everybody on the podcast to listen to me as well. And with every single fiber of my body, I want to tell you that this Judgment Day is real. Every single person who has ever lived is destined to meet Jesus Christ. You will meet Him as Savior, or you will meet Him as your judge. You get to choose, but you must choose now before you die, before your heart stops beating. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to choose Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. You do not want to stand before Christ at this final judgment that we're going to be talking about today. For everyone who does, every single person who stands before Jesus Christ at this judgment that we are talking about will be condemned to spend eternity in the lake of fire forever and ever. It is as simple as that. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, just to briefly summarize the details of the final judgment that we covered last week, we said that this is the great white throne judgment of the unsaved dead. The Bible tells us over and over again that there is a judgment day coming. There is coming a time when God will put the final period upon the final paragraph, upon the final page, upon the final chapter, upon the final book of human history. And this judgment will include every person who has ever lived that rejected God's free gift of salvation. If during your life on this earth you said no to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, then you will stand before Christ to be judged and condemned to an eternity in hell. Now, the key to who will stand at this judgment is not how bad you were or how good you were. There is none so bad that cannot be saved, and there is none so good that need not be saved. It is whether or not you made Jesus Christ your Savior and Lord while you live on this earth. That's it. That's the determining factor to which judgment you will go to and where you will spend eternity. Now, when will this final judgment occur? Last week we talked about that it was going to occur after the millennial reign of Christ has ended. It will occur after a final rebellion by Satan and all those people on earth who during the millennial kingdom had been forced to obey Christ but never surrendered their lives to Him. Christ is going to rule this world with an iron rod, and men are going to chaff under that rule. They will want to rebel, but it will not be possible. There will be no rebellion, there will be no uprising until Christ allows it at the very end of the millennium when Satan is loosed for a little while. And then all of that hatred that had built up in the hearts of man against Christ and the Jews and the saints who are ruling with Christ will bubble up out of the hearts of man. God will destroy this entire rebellion with a mighty flash of fire from heaven, leaving only the charred ashes of the rebels. I mean, it's going to be over in seconds. It's not even going to be a battle. Satan will then be thrown into the lake of fire, never to deceive man again, never to plot and scheme against God again, and never to challenge God again. Now, we said that only unsaved people will be at this judgment. But what type of people will make up these who are to be judged? We talked about five different categories of lost people who will stand before Christ at the final judgment. And I'm just going to briefly talk about them. Again, if you want to hear about all five of these categories, we spent almost an hour last week talking about each one of these categories. So the first category will be the out-and-out sinner. So these people hate God. They hate Christ, they hate the church, they hate everything that we're doing here this morning. They're going to be in the group that is judged at the final judgment. Everybody says, yeah, those are the guys that are going to be there. They're the really bad guys, right? Everybody knows the out-and-out sinner is going to be there, right? So the next category of lost people who will be there are the self-righteous people. And these people who think they are just too good to be damned. They think that the gospel message is for those really bad people of the world, not them, because they are nice people, right? They are nice, moral, ethical, law-abiding people, and yet they're going to stand at this judgment of the unsaved dead. Then the third category of person who will be there are the procrastinators. Well, they intend to be saved. They know that they are a sinner, and they're not antagonistic to the gospel, but they just don't intend to give their hearts to Jesus, at least not today. And they'll put it off until it's too late, and they're going to stand at this judgment, right? So then the next category of persons who will be there are the unsaved church members. There's not any unsaved church members, right? Yeah, if you're to be a member of this church, you got to be saved, right? Isn't that the way it is? Yeah, you got to be saved, you got to be baptized, we're not going to just let in anybody off the street. No. We're way too careful for that, right? So unsaved church members are going to be there? You bet they are. These are people who have religion, but they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. They are religious, they're not anti-God, they just have simply been deceived. They are counting on their religion or their standing in the church to save them, but religion never saved anyone. And so the unsaved church member will be at this judgment. And then we have the fifth category of people who will be there, and those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we talk plainly about those who have not had enough light to save them, but they've had enough sin and committed enough sin to condemn them, right? We said that even without the light of the gospel, they still have seen the light that is in God's creation, and what they do with that light will determine their destiny. If they see that light and they want to know more about God, then God will give them more light. And I said last week, even if he has to parachute in a missionary, that he'll get them more light. Now, no one will have an excuse before God. But the Bible does tell us that there are degrees of judgment. Hell will not be the same for everybody. There are those who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. God deals them with one way. You will spend eternity in hell, but it will be a different level of punishment than that of the person who has rejected Christ. God deals with them one way, but God deals forcefully with the person who arrogantly, willfully, deliberately, knowingly says no to Jesus Christ. Those who have never heard the gospel will be there to stand in judgment before the Lord. Who's going to be at this final judgment of the unsaved dead? Well, the out-and-out sinner is going to be there. The self-righteous person is going to be there. The procrastinator is going to be there. The unsaved church member is going to be there. And the person who has never heard the gospel will be there. All right, any questions about that before I go on? Look at this. Look at the class filling up here. I mean, we've got a bunch of late Baptists here running around, don't we? I mean, they can't get anywhere on time, right? But I understand. I'm one of those myself. Let's get on and let's talk about it, and let's start our lesson today with the places from where all of these people are going to be called from. So, we know who they will be, and now we need to talk about the places that they are going to be called from. And we are in chapter 20, verse 13, and it says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead in hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." And so John says, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Death has the body, hell has the soul. And the Greek word that is translated here as hell is the word Hades. And it is different from the Greek words that are translated as the lake of fire when we start talking about the people being condemned to the lake of fire forever. And they describe two different places. And John is telling us that death and hell will deliver up the dead that are in them. The graves will give up their dead, and out of the tombs the dead will come. From the depths of the sea the dead will come. From the Arctic waste they will come. From the desert sands they will come. And from the tropical jungles they will come. Wherever men have died, they will be raised to come to this final judgment. This is the resurrection of the unsaved dead. And from this age and every age, every person who has ever lived since Adam, who did not know Christ as their Savior before they died, will come to this judgment. We have talked at great length about this next topic before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but we need to understand that at this point in time, the time that we live in for the unsaved death, death has the body and hell has the soul. When a child of God dies, they go immediately to be with the Lord in paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 says, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Jesus said to the thief on the cross who repented and believed in Luke 23:43, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now the word paradise is used in the Bible to describe the place where the souls of the saints go when they die. And that place has changed from being a part of Sheol, and we talked about Sheol and the two parts of it before, prior to the resurrection of Christ, to what it is today after the resurrection of Christ, which is in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:4 says, "How that he was caught up into paradise," and this is Paul, "and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter." So paradise is where the saved person goes when they die. They immediately go to be with the Lord Jesus. However, since the beginning of time, when a person dies without Jesus Christ as his Savior, their soul goes immediately to hell. But hell is just a holding place for them until the day of judgment. It is a place of torment and fire, but it is not the final place of torment. We see a picture of this in Luke chapter 16 when Jesus describes what happened to the rich man and the beggar named Lazarus. And the rich man died, and in hell he lifted his eyes up, being in torment. But I want you to think of hell as a jail where the indicted criminal is held until the judgment takes place. And think of the lake of fire as the penitentiary where the final sentence is carried out. At the moment of death, the unsaved person goes to hell. When the time comes for the Lord to issue the summons to come to the final judgment, that unsaved dead will be taken out of the holding cell called hell. They are taken out of the jail, they are judged, and they are finally put in the penitentiary, which is the lake of fire, where they will spend eternity without God. Any questions about that little process there? Like I said, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, because we've covered that all before. Any questions real quick? Nope. All right. No maybe about it. Listen up. No maybes. There is coming a final judgment. John says the sea will give up its dead. Death and hell will deliver up its dead, which are in them, and they were judged every man. So we know where they are coming from. We know who is coming. And now let's talk about the power in which they are called. So sometimes when an earthly judge issues a summons to a person to appear in court, that person who is to be judged, they refuse to come. Can you imagine that, refusing to come? Yeah. He may disguise himself. He may flee to another country. He may seek asylum somewhere else, or he may even commit suicide so he doesn't have to face the earthly judge, right? But on this judgment day, there will be no refusal and there will be no escape. You will come to the judgment of the unsaved dead. In fact, the resurrection of Christ guarantees that you will come to the judgment of the unsaved dead. Do you know that? The resurrection of Jesus Christ will guarantee that you will come to the judgment of the unsaved dead. Acts 17:31 says, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." So notice it says, "hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." The man that God has ordained is Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because God tells us whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Who did God raise from the dead to be judge of all things? It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ that walked out of that grave. You can't hold court if the judge is dead. So Jesus Christ has to be alive, right? And you can't hold court if the defendant is dead. So you have to be resurrected from wherever you are. The God who raised up Jesus is the God who is going to raise up the unsaved dead. You can't crawl down in the grave, pull the dirt over your face, and hide from the summons of God to come to the judgment of the unsaved dead. It just ain't going to work. There is coming a judgment, and you will come to it. You are guaranteed to come because Christ was resurrected from the grave. Now, I want to just ask a question here, and this is just the way my mind works. You guys just have to forgive me. My mind works in weird ways, okay? If the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees the judgment of the unsaved dead, then why would an unsaved person celebrate Easter? Think about that for a moment. Why would an unsaved person celebrate Easter? What's the reason we celebrate Easter? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? It's not the Easter bunny and it's not hiding eggs. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate. Therefore, and there is that great big word, therefore, if you are an unsaved person celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees that you will come to the final judgment, and if you come and celebrate Easter here, you're celebrating your final doom, right? So now, if you're on the wrong side of Calvary, and if you refuse to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, then it would appear to me to be kind of ridiculous for you to put on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes for the one time of the year that you go to church just to celebrate you being condemned in the lake of fire. Now, you know, that's where it is. Like I said, that's the way my mind works about these things. Now, don't mistake me, and don't get me wrong. I'm glad they do come, because even if they don't understand it, because when they come, we all get a chance to fill them full of Jesus, and, you know, and we have an opportunity to tell them about why they're really here and what's going to happen to them, right? So I am glad they come. Why would you come? If you weren't thinking about that, right? So the summons to appear at this final judgment is coming, and it is a forceful summons, and you will come to this judgment. So the next thing we want to talk about are the fatal secrets that are displayed. So at this judgment, and again, this is a judgment of the unsaved dead. All the saved people have already been judged. They've already been reigning with Christ for the millennial period. And so this is a judgment of the unsaved dead from the beginning of time until now. So at this judgment, there is going to come an indictment. And notice what it is. We're going to step back to verse 12 of chapter 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Notice there's plural books there. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, did you know that God is keeping a book on you? Do you know that God's keeping a book on you? Not a thing has escaped His knowledge. And one of these days, you're going to face an accounting of your life. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And here's another verse, Romans 2:16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." God knows the secret things in your life. Nobody else knows. For most of us, if there were a glass window on our hearts so people could see in, we'd be putting that heavy tint on it that we want to put on for our cars so people can't see in to the cars, right? We don't want people looking into our heart and see what's really going on in our hearts. We want them to see that facade that we put on every day, right? When we go to church on Sunday, we got a facade we put on. When we go to work on the next day, we take that church face off and we put on our work face, right? When we go out partying on Friday night, we got a party face that we want to put on. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way we do it? We don't want people to see what's really going on in our hearts. So we put that tint on there. Now, yes, even in the people who are sitting here in this classroom, there is evil lurking in your heart. It might be way on down there. You may have it under control, but it is still there. Someone once said, "You know, it never really bothers me when somebody says something bad about me. I just say, thank God they don't know about the rest of the stuff that I've done." Right? You know, they don't know about all the rest of the stuff that I've done. Is that what you think? Thank God people don't know everything that I've done in my life. Woo, boy, I am glad that people don't know what I've done. Well, at this judgment, every evil thing that lurks in your heart is going to be revealed. Every secret thing in your life is going to be revealed. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." That is the reason that we talk about Jesus having eyes like flame of fire. All of those secrets that you have repressed, you probably even tried to forget them really hard. They're all going to be revealed. And one of the advantages of recording these lessons for my podcast is that people will be able to listen to them long after I'm gone. There'll be people here able to hear what I have said years and years after I'm gone here, right? That's one of the advantages. Now, one of the disadvantages of recording these lessons for my podcast is that people are going to be able to hear what this fool said all those years ago, right? Yeah, and long after I'm gone. Now, I have some cassette tapes of my father teaching the book of Revelation from way back in the 70s and the 80s. Way, way back in those. You know, nobody around here has been around in the 70s and 80s, right? Yeah. But way back in the 70s and 80s, my father was teaching the book of Revelation. And it's amazing that each of his words are recorded on those tapes for everybody to hear. God has his own recording equipment running on our lives. He keeps a record of every idle word that you speak. Matthew 12:36-37 says, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So have you ever taken God's name in vain? Have you ever said, "Oh, this," or "Oh, that," and taken that precious name and mixed it in with the muck and the mire and the slime of the sewer? And now you have forgotten it, right? Well, God hadn't forgotten it. You might say, "Well, I didn't mean anything by it when I said it." Well, if that's the case, then you're twice condemned. That you could take that name in vain and not mean anything by it, that it would mean no more to you than an idle curse word. Exodus 27 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless," will not hold him guiltless, "that taketh his name in vain." Every idle word that men speak will be given account thereof. Secrets that have been repressed will be revealed. Luke 12:2-3 says, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid, and that shall not be known." Nothing shall not be known. "Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear, in the closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." On that judgment day, all of the skeletons are going to come out of your closets. The things that your father did not know about you are going to come out. The things that your mother did not know that you did are going to come out. Those things that your wife didn't know that you did on that business trip, they're going to come out. Those things that your husband didn't know about you when you went out on that night with the girls, they're going to come out. I'm going to tell you, the things that happened in Las Vegas aren't going to stay in Las Vegas. They're going to come out, right? So even things that your children don't know about you will be revealed. All of these things are going to come out. Things that you have kept hidden from everyone will be shouted from the rooftop. Think about it. There is coming a judgment day where you will face the record that God keeps of you. So the image that I get in my mind when I think about this is taking the lid off of some sewer hole someplace and thousands of roaches come screaming out of that hole. You know, that is what it's going to be like. When God opens the lid off of your heart, all of those roaches are going to come streaming out for everyone to see. All of your fatal secrets are going to be displayed. And so, now we know what's going to be looked at this judgment. So next we're going to talk about the final sentence is determined. And we start with the sureness of the judgment. Revelation 20, verses 14 through 15. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." John is telling us with absolute certainty that you are going to be judged. No one is going to bribe this judge to get you out of it. No shrewd lawyer is going to be able to put a spin on it. God swears by himself that you will be judged. Romans 14:11-12 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." So why would God swear by himself that this is true? Because there is nothing higher, nothing more sure than the Almighty God of all creation. God swears by himself that you will be judged. That is the sureness of the coming judgment. Then let's talk about the severity of the judgment. John says in verse 12, "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." They were judged according to their works, not according to grace, not according to mercy. If you want grace, you may have it. If you want mercy, you may have it. But you must have it in this day and in this life. You will not have it then as you stand before God. Don't get the idea that you're going to throw yourself on the mercy of the court. On this day of judgment, the day of mercy has ended. There is no room for mercy at this judgment. In this day that we live, there is room for mercy. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But on that day of judgment, there will be no room for mercy, no room for grace whatsoever. Now, there are three parts to every trial. First of all, the evidence is presented against you. The books were open, your words, your thoughts, your deeds, every dishonest thing, every nickel you stole from your mother's dresser, every gray hair you gave to your father, every wrinkle you pinched into the brow of your wife, these things, big things and small things, the books are going to be open. Not only the things that you have done, but the things that you have, and the things that you have thought, and the things that you have said, but also the things that you have left undone are going to be judged. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You may try to deny that these things occurred, but there will be a record. Every idle word, nothing is going to be left out. The evidence presented against you, even the things you chose not to do, are going to be presented as evidence against you. Now, the next part of the trial is when you have a chance to make your defense. Now, I want you guys to think about that. What would your defense be when you're standing before God? What are you going to say? You're going to say, well, like a lot of people, I don't believe in life after death. Well, you're kind of you're died, you've come up from the grave, you're standing there in front of God at this judgment. I guess there's life after death, isn't there? I guess that defense isn't going to work, is it? Well, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there is a God. Well, that ain't going to work. Yeah, you're standing right there before Him. That one ain't going to work. All of that being out, what are you going to say? Whatever it is, would it even be enough to satisfy you? So if it doesn't satisfy you, why would it satisfy God? You know, I just hear people standing up there at the saying, "Okay, Lord, I know it looks bad, but wait just a minute, Lord, please don't judge my sin." You know, I didn't know which church to join. There was a Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Presbyterian church, the Church of God, the Church of Christ, the Church of God in Christ, the Episcopalian church, the Catholic church, and Mormonism. Of all those things, I just didn't know which church to join. God's going to say, "I didn't say believe on the church. I said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." But God, it was all that Keith Martin's fault. I went to hear him on a Sunday morning, and I wanted to feel good about things, and he was up there teaching about Judgment Day. He just made me feel all kinds of bad. I just didn't want to be saved after hearing all those negative words. And God will say, "I didn't tell you to believe on the teacher or the preacher. I said to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." But now, wait a minute, God, whoa, now wait a minute. I'll tell you why I wasn't saved. I wasn't going to be a hypocrite. I wasn't going to go down there and walk down that aisle and give my heart to Jesus in front of all those people and not be able to live that life. Lord, you got to have some respect for me because I didn't want to be a hypocrite, right? And God will say, "I didn't say believe on yourself. I said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved." Oh, but Lord, every church I went to was full of hypocrites. I know a bunch of those hypocrites. I work with them. I see how they live during the work day, and then I see them at church. God's going to say, "I didn't say believe on the hypocrite. I said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." What defense are you going to give? What can you possibly say for trampling beneath your feet the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and despising the Spirit of grace when He stretches forth His nail-pierced hands and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the first part of the trial is the evidence. Then comes the defense. And then the verdict of the court is handed down. Who is the judge? The judge is Jesus Christ. And a broken-hearted judge will say, Matthew 10:33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, and will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Lord is going to give his verdict, and then your soul is going to drop down into the lake of fire. John says in verse 15, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What you will be judged on will be your works, but what will send you to an eternity in torment in the lake of liquid fire will be the fact that your name was not written in the book of life. Why is your name not there? Because you said no to the free gift of salvation. And because you said no, your body and soul will be cast into hell. For all those who have said they don't believe in hellfire, 30 seconds after you get there, you're going to believe in hellfire. This is what God's Word says, and it's as sure as the God that wrote each word. It is true. There really is a liquid lake of fire, and the sadness of it is that you don't have to go. You know, C.S. Lewis brilliantly said that everybody in the world is in two categories. There are those like Satan who say to God the Father, Not your will, but mine be done. And there are those who are like God the Son who say to the Father, Not my will, but thine be done. Now those in the first category who say to the Father, Not your will, but mine be done, who are autonomous and live self-concerned, self-controlled lives, will one day drop into that lake of fire, and a broken-hearted God is going to say, Not my will, but thine be done. God doesn't want you to go to hell. The truth is, if you die outside of the Lord, then you are going to come to a judgment and you will find out for yourself that the Bible is indeed true. But I got wonderful news for you. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Now there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you want to know something? I know that I know that I know that I'm not going to stand before the great white throne, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because I settled out of court. I settled out of court. Jesus became my Savior when He died on that cross in agony and in blood, and with His blood, He paid that sin debt for me. Romans 8, 33 through 34 says, Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, isn't that wonderful? Your sin can be buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness, never to be brought up against you again. Why, oh, why would anyone want to stand at this great white throne of judgment and then face an eternity living in torment in the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels? It wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you follow Satan, if you reject Christ, that's where you're going to go. You know, it breaks my heart. There are those who willingly, knowingly, and defiantly choose this faith. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. If you want to know more about Jesus Christ and how He can save you, you come up and talk to me after class, and we'll make sure that you don't stand at this judgment. Amen? Amen. Amen.